Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Why is that our motto? Because the Christian churches of this world are all going off the deep end and are leaving the true God. And as we saw last time, God said, "Come out of her, my people," that is this world, and this world system, and this world's religions. And how do we do that? As we saw, you repent, and you seek God, and you forsake the world in understanding how corrupt it is. Now let's come back here to Psalm 63. And this was written by King David, a man after God's own heart. Look at how he sought God. And let's use that as a measurement and ask ourselves, am I seeking God with this kind of fervor and zeal and understanding? Or do I want a religion so I can be thought of as good, and I can have people around me who think of me as good, and I think of them as good, and we all compliment each other and tell ourselves how wonderful Christians we are and what a great church we have where we go to church on Sunday? Nothing like the wrong day of the week. So here's how David sought God. Oh God, you are my God, no other gods. What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me, right? Yes. Earnestly will I seek you, not haphazardly, not half-heartedly, not, well, God, if you give me this or you give me that, I'll seek you. Well, that's not the way to come to God. That's not repentance. Repentance is to abhor your way of life, abhor the sins that you have committed, and begin keeping the commandments of God. And we'll touch on that again here in just a little bit. Notice David's attitude. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That describes the world today. If there's anything that doesn't, full of sin and wretchedness and lies and fake news and fake reality and violence and killing and wars. Think about it. God wants you to come out of this system through repentance. God wants you to seek Him. And here is the highest standard right here. Now let's come back here to Psalm 62 and verse 1. This is quite a psalm. And this also compares what we should be doing and how we should be thinking in relationship to the world. Verse 1. Only for God does my soul wait in silence. From Him comes my salvation. There is no salvation except through Jesus Christ. And the God of the Old Testament was the one who became Jesus Christ. So think on that for a little bit. He only is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, steadfast, as Jesus said. If you're anchored on the rock of Christ, you're going to be able to go through any difficulty or problem, and it's not going to take you away from God. Now notice how he compares men and the world to God's way. How long will you imagine mischief against man? You shall be slain, all of you. You shall be like a bowing wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down, which then is a prophecy of Christ. And isn't that what they tried to do right from the beginning? Remember in Mark, the third chapter, where Christ came into the synagogue, here was a man who had a withered arm. And they were all looking at him, wondering, well, is he going to heal on the Sabbath day or not? So Jesus knew their hearts and mind. He told the man to stand forward in the middle and stretch out his arm, and it became whole. Now, did the people rejoice? the scribes and Pharisees rejoice and say, "Oh, this must be the Messiah. Oh, let's find out more from him." No, they left the synagogue. Now think about this for a minute. If the synagogue is supposed to be the holy place where you gather together as a Jew so you can find out about God, and the Son of God comes in and teaches a lesson and heals a man of a withered arm, and then the leaders go out and plan to kill him. How much good did their religion do them? None. Why? Because they follow their traditions rather than the commandments of God. So here's a prophecy of it. Verse 4, Psalm 62. They only consult to cast him down from his great height. They delight in lies. Do you delight in lies? This sounds like the religious system, political system where you live. Think about it. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Think about that for a minute. Did you read about the latest scandal in Argentina with all the pedophile priests? Did you read about the scandal at the Vatican with all the homosexuals? That describes them right here. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Oh, my soul, wait in silence for God alone, for from him comes my hope. See, you look to God the Father and Jesus Christ for everything. He only is your hope. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your Master. And God the Father loves you and is calling you. Will you answer the call to God? Will you really? Will you come to repentance and see that the way that you have been living in contrary ways against God's way and his commandments is causing you to have a lot of problems and difficulties, and some of them you cannot solve? Why? Because you're living in sin. That's why God says repent. Notice what it comes to here. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my strong tower. I will not be moved. Now think about that. He will not be moved away from God, from Christ, from salvation, from his word, from his truth, and even writes about it. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Now notice the command. Ask yourself this question. Am I doing this? Verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Now notice something else that is added here. One of the most important things you can do is pray. Now we have a lot of material on that right here at Church at Home and on our other website, truthofgod.org. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now whenever you see the word Selah, that means stop and think and meditate on this. Okay? Verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. Whoa! Isn't that true, the political system? All of them liars. Some of them so bad they're calling them liars in chief. And the ones who are telling the truth, the liars say, the ones who are telling the truth are lying. So that's why you have to do what the Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Now notice what else. When weighed into balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. And isn't that less than nothing? Yes, indeed. Verse 10. Trust not in oppression. Do not take pride in stolen goods. Wow, that sounds like some politicians need to learn some lessons, right? If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice I've heard this. That power belongs to God. that is, wealth gotten properly. So also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you give to every man according to his work. So what is your work? Is your work, actually, if you keep the commandments of God, that's his work, right? So if you're keeping his commandments, that's not your work, is it? No. But if you're keeping a tradition, if you're keeping commandments of men, is that the work of God? No. That's the work of men, which are what? Lighter than vanity. Now let's come to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Let's measure ourselves, not by ourselves, or compare ourselves to other people as they compare themselves to each other, but let us compare ourselves to God, his commandments, his way, his truth, his love, and let's ask the question, what do I need to do to come out of this Babylonian system? And how do I do it? Well, Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, is a very important key. Now, remember what we read last time about Romans 2 and verse 13. Not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now let's read verse 1, Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my law. Now look at this as if God the Father is speaking. But let your heart keep my commandments. What does God want to do in the New Testament with the laws and commandments of God? A lot of ministers say, well, it's all done away. That's not what God said. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what's written in the New Testament. Jesus said he wants us to have his laws and his commandments written and inscribed into our minds and hearts. How is that abolishing law? It's not. It is fulfilling law. See, because the truth of the matter is, we are to learn to think with the Word of God, with the commandments of God, with the truth of God. Because the human mind naturally is evil and deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Who can know it? Meaning, you can't even know your own heart until you really start repenting, until you really start seeking God the way that we have shown. And that's the only way you're going to come out of this Babylonian system in the world. But let your heart keep my commandments, for they shall be length of days, think eternal life, and long life and peace to you. Do not let them forsake you. Bind them around your neck. In other words, make them a very part of your being and write them on the tablet of your heart. Oh, the Old Testament agrees with the New Testament. What do you know about that? So why would these lying fake ministers say that God has done away with the law? There's even one so stupid as to say, well, if you try to keep the law, you're going to be sinning. But if you just completely ignore it and not have it, then you're not sinning because you're not aware of it. Now, how stupid can that be? But there are people out there, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, that's so wonderful, so nice. Now, continuing here in Proverbs 3, and so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Don't you want grace and favor in the sight of God? Don't you want God's blessing upon you? Don't you want God to look upon you as one who is really seeking God? Yes. Now we'll see how we're to do that in just a little bit. Very important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. What's a favorite saying of most people today? My opinion is. And they think that's some sort of sacred thing. It's not. If it is contrary to God and the Word of God, what are your opinions? What do you think? What goes on in the deep recesses of your mind? God knows, and you know. And those are the things you need to repent of. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now that's quite a promise, isn't it? You acknowledge Him how? By prayer, by study, by keeping His commandments, by giving of your tithes and offerings. Acknowledge that He gives the power to do that. And acknowledge about God and everything in your life. This is how you come out of Babylon the Great. Because Babylon the Great is nothing but one big lie. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, that means hold Him in awe, and depart from evil. Now, what will this do for you? Think about this for a minute, this next verse. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. You want health? Now, why does it talk about marrow to your bones? Because that's where blood is produced in your body, in the marrow of the bones. You ever heard of bone cancer? Bad news. That means that the marrow of the bones of the individual are not producing and making new blood. Now then, let's come to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And let's see something very important, because the argument always comes around, what is a great commandment? Yes, indeed, people want to know, what's the greatest thing that I can do? So let's read it here, because the religious leaders were always trying to catch Jesus in something wrong. So verse 35, and one of them, a doctor of the law, oh, he studied the law all his life, question him, tempting him and saying, Master, which commandment is the great commandment in the law? Now we're going to get him. Verse 37, and Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Circle all. Now, what does that mean? Think about that for just a minute. Does that leave any room for entertaining sin? Does that leave any room to be duplicitous in your behavior? Think about all of the hypocritical religious leaders who have sinned stacked high to heaven as part of this fake Babylon the Great. And look at them. Do they love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind? Is that your heart and mind and attitude toward God in spite of everything around you? Well, that's what Jesus says it needs to be. Notice what else he says here. Verse 38, this is the first, and the Greek there, protos, means primary, basic, and greatest commandment. Not greater, greatest. Because that means if you love God this way, you receive His love back to you. You think God is going to love people who curse at Him, who deny Him, atheists who reject Him? Really? Well, you go look. Just one thing. Try this for once. Look at all of those who are involved in rock and rap music and analyze. You can probably find this online somewhere. How long did they live?
Hey, good looking. Put a spell on me.
I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky.
Very few reach 35. Whereas we read, if you love God and keep his commandments, it will bring long life. Is that not true? Yes, indeed. Now notice he goes on to expound a little more. And the second one is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's quite a command, isn't it? Now, how do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, you go back and read some of the statutes and ordinances there in Exodus 22, 23, and 24, and there are laws on what you need to do. And God said, if you even see your enemy and his ox has fallen upon him, you shall go and help him out from underneath. Now, how's that for loving your neighbor? And he doesn't say, love your neighbor only if he is good. Now, look at this one, verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, here's New Testament doctrine, supporting all the law and the prophets, and gets right back to one of the very first things that Jesus said when he was tempted of Satan the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now that's important. Now let's tie this together. Let's come to 1 John, 1 John the second chapter. And let's analyze, you analyze yourself, I'll analyze myself, and ask yourself the question, do you really do this? Now it compares those who keep the commandments of God with those who don't. So let's read it, beginning here in verse 3. By this standard we know that we know him if you got a Bible, circle that. We keep his commandments. And what is the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being, right? Yes. Now notice verse 4. Use this to evaluate your behavior and your thoughts and your relationship with God. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. And what did Jesus say how we are to seek God? In spirit and in truth, right? So, you look at those commandments, the first commandment, the second commandment, and the fourth commandment, and then the blasphemous doctrine of the Trinity. And that's what cuts people off from God. Breaking those commandments cuts you off from God. Now then, what does it say about the preacher in the pulpit who says the law has been abolished? What does this make him? A liar. Question. Do you really want the truth? Really, really want the truth? Because you see, the truth reaches down deep within your conscience. Now notice what it says. Verse 5, on the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, that's the whole message of Christ. Are you doing that? Keeping the word of God? Truly, in this one, the love of God is being perfected. In other words, you're growing in grace and knowledge, you're growing in love, and you're learning how to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. That's why there's repentance and baptism. God will forgive those sins. God will cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ, and they will be buried in the watery grave of baptism, and you can come up in newness of life and receive the Holy Spirit of God and walk in spirit and in truth as God wants you to do so. See, this is the challenge of today. Do you love the world or do you love God? Do you keep the commandments of fake Christianity or do you keep the commandments of God? And like Elijah said to the children of Israel, how long are you caught between two opinions? Then he proved that the Lord was God. Now notice this next sentence. By this means, we know. We don't have to guess. We don't have to think. We know that we are in him. And when we know that, what does this impel us to do? How should we act and behave? Now, we all have plenty of sins we need to change and grow and overcome, every one of us, because we're in the flesh and we're not perfect. That's why we need God every day. That's why we need to yield to him in everything that we do. Notice this. Verse 6, anyone who claims to dwell in him, how many are doing it? How many claim that they dwell in God is obligating himself also to walk as he himself walked. Did Jesus sin? No. Did Jesus keep the commandments of God? Yes. How do you come out of this world of Babylon? By seeking God in spirit and in truth. Now then, we have these booklets. We're going to let you know about them again. If you don't have this one, Why Christianity is Failing in America, Why People Are Turned Off with Religion, Why Are They Turning to Atheism and Evolution and All of This Nonsense. And if you have been told that the Bible is filled with lies, you need this booklet, How Credible Is the Bible? And you need this other book, Lord, What Should I Do? That's the most important, most imperative question you need to ask yourself living in this world. How should I live? What should I do? How can I get out of all these lies and fake Christianity and fake reality and all of these things? This book will tell you. So all of these things are important. So if you want to come out of this Babylonian world, this fake Christianity that is everywhere, and come to the real God, the true Christ, then you need to repent of your sins. So once again, this is Fred Calder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long, everyone.